ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading of the first chapter of the seventh canto entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. And is text 37 on the board? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to start with 36. I'm going to go a little bit further. Don't worry, I'm not going to do another purport. After verse 37, there's a number of verses with no purport that follow in the same line. So I'm going to go up to verse 39. So tomorrow we'll continue with verse 40. So I'll read verse 36, we'll do 37 together, then I'll read the rest of the verses after that. Verse 36. The great Saint Narada said, "Once upon a time, when the four sons of Lord Brahma, named Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanatkumara, were wandering throughout the three worlds, they came by chance to Vishnu Loka." Verse 37. Pancha, Shraddha, Ayana, Arba Abhatha, Purvesham, Api, Purvajaha, Dig, Vasasaha, Shishun, Matwa, Dwa, Stau, Tan, Pratyasedatam, Panchashradayanar. Oh, I'm sorry. Panchashadaya Narbaha Purvesham Api Purvajaha Digvas Sasak Shishun Matwa Dvakstautan Pratyashedatam Panchashadayanarbha Purvesham Api Purvajaha Digvasasak Shishun Matva Vakstautan Pratyasedatam Matajis, please. Panjashadha. 5 or 6 years. Ayana. Approaching. Arabha Abaha. Like boys. Purvesham. The ancients of the universe. Marichi and the rest. Api. Even though. Purvajaha. Born before. Dikvasasaha. Being naked. Shishun. Children. Matwa. Thinking. Dwakstau. The two gate guards. Jai and Vijay. Tan. Them. Pratyashedatam. Forbade. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although these four great sages were older than Brahma's other sons, like Marichi, they appeared like small naked children only 5 or 6 years old. When Jai and Vijay saw them trying to enter Vaikuntha, these two gatekeepers, thinking them ordinary children, forbade them to enter. Purport. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says in his Tantra Sara, Dvakstavityanenadikara statvam uktam. There's a bunch of Sanskrit I'm going to skip. The purport is that the person, The purport is that the personal associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka are always liberated souls. Even if sometimes cursed or blessed, they are always liberated and never contaminated by the material modes of nature. Before their liberation to Vaikuntha Loka, they possessed material bodies. But once they come to Vaikuntha, they no longer have them. Therefore, even if the associates of Lord Vishnu sometimes ascend as if cursed, they are always liberated. Text 38. Thus checked by the doorkeepers Jai and Vijay, Sanandana and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. "You two foolish doorkeepers," they said, "being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudwisa's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras." And text 39. While Jai and Vijay, thus cursed by the sages, were falling to the material world, they were addressed as follows by the same sages, who were very kind to them. "O doorkeepers, after three births, you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of the curse will have ended." Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganajana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Maha Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasai Pudale Srimate Praladananda Swami Tamune Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasai Pudale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tamune Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurvani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shuni Vadi Paschatya Adi Shatarne. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, it's being mentioned how Krishna is equal to everyone. What, from an ordinary perspective, may seem like Krishna is favoring one person or not favoring another person, it's in fact Krishna's impartiality. So even though he may treat one person supposedly nicely and treat another person supposedly harshly, really, he's impartially dealing with everyone according to how they want to interact with him. Just like once liberated, we can have a relationship with Krishna in one of five primary different types of relationships, whether it be that of neutrality, that of servitorship, that of friendship, as a parent or as a lover. In the same way, we can interact with Krishna in the material world too, as an enemy, as envious, in so many different ways, as indifferent. It's all about our own choice, and based upon those choices that we make, Krishna will behave accordingly with us. Just like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in verse 10:10, that he gives us the intelligence of how to come to him. And elsewhere, Prabhupada says that Krishna is actually giving everyone intelligence to do everything. Whatever it is they desire to do, Krishna is giving the intelligence, and he's also giving the sanction. As Krishna says in the 23rd text of the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's the overseer and permitter of the Supersoul. He's overseeing everything that's happening within this world, and he's permitting these things to happen. Without his permission, it doesn't happen. So some people choose to interact with Krishna in envious ways, and then Krishna shows his corresponding mercy to those people according to the ways they're choosing to interact with him. While other people choose to become his devotee, to engage in his service. So consequently, Krishna shows a certain characteristics and behavior towards that person, which one could say Krishna shows his favor to the devotees. Now with this also, it carries a great responsibility too, because once one is elevated to this platform of liberation in Vaikuntha Loka, for instance, in this particular example of Jai and Vijay, they were doorkeepers of the innermost gates of Vaikuntha. I think there's, 7 different gates? And they were the gatekeepers for the innermost gates. The four Kumaras, they had wandered up to Vaikuntha Loka, and they wandered in through the first 6 gates without being checked. It's actually a really nice pastime described in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam. But then when they reached the 7th gate, the 2 gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, mistook them as ordinary living beings. Now when we're dealing with liberated souls, inhabitants of Vaikuntha, things like this don't ordinarily happen. It happens by Krishna's sanction. You know, so they blocked the passage of the 4 Kumaras, as mentioned in this verse here, thinking that they're just some lost naked children that don't belong there. Taking it as a great affront, how dare you enter the spiritual world being naked, you should be clothed. And not realizing the elevated spiritual consciousness of the 4 Kumaras. Of course, it's also explained that at that particular point, the 4 Kumaras weren't devotees. They were impersonalists. But then when Lord Vishnu came, because there's a ruckus happening, and naturally Vishnu wanted to come and see what was going on. So when he came out, the 4 Kumaras paid their obeisances, and when they were paying their obeisances, they smelled the tulsi that was adorning Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. And smelling that tulsi made them devotees. They became Vaishnavas after smelling the tulsi on Vishnu's lotus feet. And it's really interesting, actually, what Lord Vishnu says in this particular pastime in the 3rd canto. It carries a great responsibility, a great weight. This is a 16th chapter, 4th text of the 3rd canto. Lord Vishnu says, "To me the Brahman is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself, Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. This is rather amazing. You know how Lord Vishnu directly takes responsibility for the activities of his servants, for the activities of his devotees. So as representatives of Vishnu, as representatives of Krishna, all devotees have to be extremely cautious and extremely careful of how they carry on their activities, what they do, how they present themselves to the public. That's why at temples like this, in the middle of the city, we have to be very careful of, you know, how we behave, how we act, what we say, how we present ourselves, how we dress. Because anything that we do is a direct reflection of Krishna. So it carries a lot of responsibility. It carries a great weight. So that's why in the Vaishnava etiquette handbooks compiled by different sannyasis within our society, you know, it's mentioned that one shouldn't even wear tilak and kunti mala unless one is very strictly following the four principles and chanting Hare Krishna. Because if somebody sees someone wearing tilak, kunti mala, shika, dhoti, or sari, and they see them engaging in, you know, sinful activities, activities that break the principles, naturally the public's going to attribute those activities to everyone else who wears the same dress. So for instance, if somebody is wearing their devotional clothing and they're smoking a cigarette in the side alley, and some karmi walks by, they're going to think, oh, well, the devotees are no different than everyone else. They're just regular people with the same vices, the same sinful habits. And so it's a very poor reflection upon Krishna. So we need to be very careful with our activities. You know, it's interesting also how impartial Krishna is and how he gives mercy to everyone. One example that I particularly appreciate that's very bewildering to the mind to try to understand is that of Putana. You know, Putana was this terrible witch, and she was approaching Krishna to kill him because Krishna killed her brother. And so she smeared poison on her breast, and then she offered that to Krishna. And when he was sucking the milk out, he sucked not only her milk, but he also sucked her very life air, killing her. So in this way, he was reciprocating with her in the role of an asura, of a demon. But at the same time, because she offered her breast milk, he also accepted her as his nurse. So when she got liberation, she got more than just liberation. She was actually instated on the same level as Mother Yashoda, which is really incredible. So just imagine what sort of favor Krishna bestows upon those who are favorably inclined to him. Another thing, I was listening this morning while I was resting the deities. Prabhupada was giving a lecture talking about the different ways that people interact with Krishna, saying that most people in the Western countries, they interact with Krishna as their order supplier, as father or mother. So most of the Shaktas, they interact with God as the Divine Mother. You know, so they worship Kali, they worship Durga. They worship all these different aspects of the Divine Mother. Oh, Mother, please give me this. Oh, Mother, please give me that. And then other people from the Western culture are mainly following the different Semitic traditions. Oh, Father, please give me my daily bread. Always approaching God as the order supplier. But yet this really doesn't give the higher levels of love that can be experienced for Krishna. Because that's only reserved for those who want to go further with the love. You know, the intensity, the deepness of the love that we can develop for Krishna, it's available to everyone, but only if you approach Krishna in a certain way. You know, just like in the material world here, if you want to develop a friendship with someone, but yet you come up to them and start hitting them and abusing them and intimidating them, that's probably not going to develop a very close friendship. Rather, you'll probably make an enemy. But yet if you approach the same person with a different attitude, then the person will respond differently. So it's not that the other person is inimical to one person or friendly to another person just for no reason. Krishna isn't naturally the same way. Because whatever we are, it's simply a reflection of Krishna. So if we respond to Krishna inimically, as a demon, Krishna is not being partial by destroying the demon. He's impartially interacting with that demon according to the way that demon wants to interact with Krishna. If that same soul, rather than acting inimically towards Krishna, instead approaches Krishna with love, then Krishna will lovingly respond to that soul. And even there's a distinction between the ways of lovingly approaching Krishna. If we approach Krishna as an order supplier, Krishna will simply give us the things we want, but at the same time, he won't really bestow his full love upon us. Because approaching Krishna as an order supplier, we're not really wanting Krishna's full love. We're simply wanting Krishna's energy. We're simply wanting the products of things that Krishna can create and trying to enjoy those separately from Krishna. But if we approach Krishna with love and devotion, not desiring anything in return, in other words, if we approach Krishna in the mood of kevala bhakti, wanting only bhakti, you know, not being addicted to the fruits of our activities or addicted to mental speculation. Because you can still worship Krishna in those two moods also. You can still worship Krishna, but still have a desire for enjoying the fruits of your activities. That's called karma yoga. Or you can also engage in mental speculation with understanding that Krishna is the ultimate goal. But that's called jnana yoga. And neither of those will give the topmost achievements. Neither of those will give real love for Krishna. It's only when you approach Krishna simply with the desire to please him, without wanting to indulge in mental speculation or wanting to enjoy the fruits of the activities that you're engaging in, then you'll be allowed access to the highest levels of love of God. So I think I'll just open it up there. We have about 5 minutes for if anyone has any questions, comments. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
actually when they became devotees, when they...
Yeah.
Wow.
They were liberated souls before that, but they weren't devotees. Sometimes liberated souls can go to Vaikuntha. For instance, Srivasa Muni. He's a liberated mystic yogi, but he's not a devotee. You know, so he was able to go up to Vaikuntha Loka to even approach Lord Vishnu. But he wasn't able to get free from the Sudarshan Chakra chasing him. He had to go back to Vishnu's devotee, Ambarish Maharaj, and beg forgiveness from him. So sometimes it does happen. The liberated souls can go to Vaikuntha, even though they may not be devotees yet. Those are the only two examples that I can think of, if you know of any others. Anyone else? Prema?
Hare Krishna. You said then Vishnu is, there's in third canto, I think you said, Vishnu is responsible for activities of his devotees. I think it's one verse in Bhagavad Gita, I just cannot remember, then Krishna said he's not responsible for action of conditioned souls because everything is carried out by most material nature, they're their own choice. So how you can understand these two?
Well, we're talking about two different things here.
Can you explain?
One, we're talking about Krishna's devotees. When you become a devotee of Krishna, then he personally takes interest in your well-being. And as he mentions here, well, earlier in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, then he also takes responsibility for your activities. But that's for a liberated soul who's a devotee. Whereas you're talking about conditioned souls, souls who aren't devotees. They're conditioned by the modes of material nature. And they're envious of Krishna and they're desiring to do things for their own sense gratification. Therefore, they're still taken care of, but it's indirectly through the agency of the modes of material nature. And Krishna does not take responsibility for the actions of the conditioned souls. I've never read anywhere where he says that. So it's two very different things. Is that okay? Nikatma Prabhu?
Well, just a comment. The Kumaras didn't enter into Vaikuntha when they cursed Jayavijaya. We read that in the Bhagavatam. They didn't actually enter. That was outside the gates.
Oh, right.
But I don't recall that Durvas went to Vaikuntha. I know he went to Narayan, which would have been Svetadweep, but not Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm. Well, even to be in the presence of Narayan is... Vaikuntha. Even Lord Brahma doesn't see Narayan directly.
I mean, we can say that, but Narayan also comes here. Are we in Svetadweep? Are we in Vaikuntha?
Yeah. Okay. I can accept that.
Svetadweep is called the local Vaikuntha planet.
Yeah, but it's still, he didn't go actually on to...
It's beautiful.
He didn't enter into Vaikuntha.
Dhrudakarma mentioned that Svetadweep is the local Vaikuntha planet.
Right, it's in the material universe.
It's a transcendental planet in the material universe. It never gets destroyed. It's like a Dhruvaloka.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the qualifications are for entering that planet.
Again, my only question was, did he actually enter into... We know the Kumaras didn't, but did Durvas actually enter into Vaikuntha? I don't recall reading that.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. I don't recall reading that either. I just remember that he approached Lord Vishnu.
Right, right, right.
Anyone else? Fine. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.